Welcome to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. In this series, Bishop Campbell hopes to present many subjects, including life in the Church, spiritual growth, our responsibility as Christians, and our individual vocation to holiness. From the Chair is intended to encourage our prayer life, to draw us deeper into a relationship with God, and to announce the good news of Jesus Christ. And now, Bishop Frederick Campbell.
My dear friends, there are moments when I like to stop and simply consider how, in fact, the hand of God works in our lives, and not only in our individual lives, but throughout history, throughout our own society. And it is really a meditation on what is known as the providence of God. That is the way in which He is mysteriously present to all things, in ways sometimes that we don't understand until they are past, in ways that remain quite anonymous. But yet there is always that sense that God is among us, that God is present to all of His creation, although He is separated from the creation by His eternal holiness and otherness. But it's a wonder about God that, being other, He is still present moment by moment in our lives. And this providence is something that I think we should from time to time stop and ponder. How God makes Himself known. How He works through us as well in our free choices, in our sense of the future, and of how we ought to live. That sense of providence came to me in a surprising way on Sunday when I heard the Gospel of Matthew preached, which involved the story of the coin of tribute or taxation, that the Pharisees and the Herodians came to Jesus in order really to trap Him by asking Him whether it was just or unjust to pay the coin of tribute to Rome. Many of them hoped that He would say, no, it is wrong, and of course then Rome would condemn Him as an insurrectionist. If He were to say yes, then He would be condemned by the Jews who suffered under Roman control, and especially with a coin that bore an image, forbidden by God's law, of the Roman Empire. Well, our Lord, of course, escapes this very cleverly by asking, first of all, for a coin about which they are talking. And it's interesting that Jesus Himself did not carry the coin, but it came from the Pharisees, who were there to condemn the use of such coins. And our Lord, of course, responds, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar, and give to God what is God's. Now, this answer has been taken traditionally to mean that there is a clear division between the secular and the religious spheres, that in our human life there is a division that we can create between spiritual authority and secular political authority. But the more I ponder our Lord's response, I wonder, in fact, if this is a fully developed understanding of what He has said. Because our Lord is holding that coin in His hand, and He asks, well, whose image is this? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. And it is then that He says, well, give back to Caesar what is Caesar's. Perhaps our Lord, when He said that, was referring only to the coin, and suggesting that really everything else belongs to God. Now, of course, there is a very clear distinction in our life as Christians between that which concerns ourselves as a faithful people worshiping God, members of the Church, the body of Christ, and also what we might call the secular world. But we have to remember that until fairly late in our history, the term secular did not necessarily mean godless. The term secular simply meant that which is contained in nature and in creation, and in fact will be utterly transformed or simply cease to exist at the second coming of Jesus Christ. The secular does have a meaning, but it does not necessarily mean that God does not work through it. And I think that for this reason, the church paired that reading from Matthew with a passage from the prophet Isaiah, in which the prophet says a very interesting thing. He is referring to the Persian king Cyrus, who had defeated the Babylonians, and in defeating the Babylonians found that within his new kingdom was a very large number of Jews that had been expelled from Jerusalem and Judea when the Babylonians had conquered that area. They were living for 50 years in exile. And Isaiah said that God's anointed Cyrus, actually this is the only case in the Old Testament in which the term the anointed, that is the Messiah, is connected with an actual person, with the name Cyrus. And what is surprising is that Cyrus was not a Jew. He was a Persian, a member of the Gentiles. But I think what Isaiah is trying to point out is that God even uses the Gentiles to fulfill his purpose. That in the victory of Cyrus, the Gentile, the Jews were freed. Free to return to their homeland, to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, to rebuild the sacred temple. And the prophet Isaiah was both astounded and mesmerized by how, in fact, that hand of God worked through a Gentile in order to bring the Jews back to their land. Now, this sense of God's working in our lives, that sense of his providence, operates not only in our individual lives, but in the world around us. What so frequently happens is that we are not attentive to it. And often it is only in retrospection, thinking back over occasions, that we begin to realize that, in fact, God's hand seemed to be part of our life, our decisions, of the things that we had done. It is a mystery in the sense not that it is a riddle to be solved, but a mystery that invites us more and more to that title that was given to our Lord Jesus at his birth, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, God among us. And I think it is important for us often to stop and make an examination of our lives. What has happened? How did we get to where we are? Sometimes this providence of God bringing to mind the events in our past tells not only about the good that may have happened or about those moments when our life seemed to take a particular direction, but also to consider how, in fact, we may have taken a wrong turning, for God does remind us of that as well. And it is important in that examination, in a sense, to clarify our memory, to allow that memory not only to think of what is past, but to clarify it in that we look back on those events and ask ourselves, what really happened? We do have missed opportunities. Sometimes we are not reflective enough. Sometimes we are not attentive enough. And it is important in our prayer to exercise what the spiritual writers have always defined as recollection, orienting our mind and our hearts training ourselves to focus on that which is before us, on that which is important. And therefore, the act of meditation is very important in living our lives in according to God's commandments. And a ready sense of God's providence and the way by which we can begin to trace it does not mean that we are going to be able to foresee every moment of God's action among us, but it does give us a sense of peace that even in troubled times, we become aware that God still is with us, that He can bring some of the most wonderful good out of the most difficult situations. But we must remain open and faithful and hopeful and rest in that peace of God that only He alone can give, which the world may offer but cannot deliver to us.
You have been listening to From the Chair with the Most Reverend Frederick F. Campbell, Bishop of the Diocese of Columbus. From the Chair is a series created by Bishop Campbell in cooperation with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, so that he might directly speak with his flock to address questions about living the Catholic faith. Join us each Tuesday at 5 p.m. for From the Chair with Bishop Frederick F. Campbell.